And now, ladies and gents, more Toolbox with Joe and Raven.
They've started on the westbound ride, with the mail packet completing a 1,800-mile journey. Like, that's so crazy. That is so crazy. Again, this isn't... Like, I don't know if it's, like, just me who's unable to fathom this, but it's, like...
No, that's, today's, like, super fast.
But, no, but today's, it's, like, they didn't have roads back at then. Mm-mm. They didn't have cars that paved the way or trucks that mowed down trees. Like, these people were going through trees and up hills and back roads and snow, like, on a horse.
Yeah, like, nowadays, it's still, like, a five-day car journey on a highway.
Yeah, and that's going, in a vehicle, you know, 85. In clothes.
I mean, 70, going 70.
Yeah, yeah. Tisk, tisk, mister. Like, that's so crazy. And it's like, ugh, it's so crazy they were able to do that. And it's so cool. And that's why they lived longer. Or maybe died faster.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think they did live longer back then.
They lived better. They weren't worried about emissions.
Yeah. Had to take the horse in to get service.
They don't get flat tires.
Not all. If you get a horse with a flat tire, bad news for the horse.
Oh, no. No.
That's how they fixed them back in the day.
No. That's horrible.
That's so terrible.
That is horrible. Oh, my goodness. Okay. The post office, they made their first iron horse in 1832, and it was the use of the railroad system.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was picturing a, like a cyborg.
No. That one's not getting a flat tire.
Yeah. It's just going through trees.
That
sounds so scary.
Oh my god. I keep losing my place. Okay. The use of the iron horse or the railroad system started off the new era of mail delivery. It was the completion of the nation's first transcontinental railroad. And I remember learning about this a little bit in school, but I also didn't pay too much attention. So what can you tell us about the transcontinental railroad?
So, it's a... it's the railroad that linked the East Coast mm-hmm. and the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently when they first made it, it was like real curvy. Because that's how the government was paying the workers. They're like, each mile of track you lay, you get like 10 acres of land. And so they were just like, we're going to use as much track as possible.
I swear.
For real.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So the whole thing from east to west is bendy like that?
Not anymore.
Oh, okay. They went back and did some touch-ups.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's pretty straight now. But yeah, that's what I heard back in the day.
That's crazy.
They didn't pay them in cash. They paid them in land. And so they were just like, instead of straight, they were just like big ol'.
I mean, you had 10 kids to feed. You'd want as much land as you could get.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I guess it was just random on the land, too.
I mean, they also didn't have, like, what we got today. The freaking dude to go stand up on a hill with the...
I know, I think that's how they did it. With a guy up on a hill. That way. Build it that way.
I wish people could see us, because we do a lot of hand movements.
Yeah. Missing a lot of sign language.
The gestures. Oh, Lord. Oof. Okay. So, from the 1860s to 1970s, clerks would sort and distribute mail on the trains crisscrossing the country. Blah. At its height in the mid-20th century, the railway mail service, or the RMS, would handle 93% of all the non-local mail in the United States.
That makes sense.
That's pretty wild. That's a lot of mail. A lot of people.
A lot of trains.
Yeah, a lot of trains. In 1899, the electric automobile collected the mail from 40 mailboxes in Buffalo, New York. That was the first time.
Oh, it was electric?
Yeah, it was an electric car, and they did 40 mailboxes.
What year?
1899.
Dang!
1899.
The first Tesla.
Yeah, you told me not to go past 1950s, right?
Yeah!
Okay, yeah.
I mean, you go as far as you want. I picked up in 55.
Okay, yeah, no, mine, I think, stops in around 50s.
That's crazy. The first mail cars were electric?
Yeah, but they only got to 40 mailboxes, so they're still using the trains. The train system is still more efficient, but I guess in, like, a neighborhood in New York City,
yeah,
that's good.
Wait, in New York City? That's just one mailbox. That's just one stop. What are you talking about? Those high-rise buildings. That's like half a stop. No, they got hundreds of mailboxes in each one.
They hit 40 mailboxes. That's all it tells me. But they did it in an hour and a half. It only took them an hour and a half.
They were cooking.
Yeah.
I wonder if they put bells on that electric car so people could hear it coming.
They should have.
That's going to be the new 2030 law. So all cars have to have bells on them.
I mean, that'd put a new spin off of bells and whistles.
Hey! Oh, speaking of, they do have the equivalent to that with electric cars. Yeah, they got like a white noise maker.
Why?
Because they're so quiet. If I had a dollar for every time I almost walked in front of an electric car, I'd have like $3 by now. But you hear that weird noise. And you're like, what's that noise? I guess that Prius. Making a little ruckus.
If I know white people, it's they like to walk towards weird noises and not away from them.
Yeah. That's the side effect of it. It attracts Caucasians. Just in the road, like, what's making that ruckus? You're standing in the road. What's that noise?
Some of y'all were deers in a past life. Because that's why they be doing the same thing.
Yeah, what's up with deers and just running into vehicles?
They see a bright, shiny light heading at them real fast. They want to see what it is.
What's going on here?
And that's the biggest firefly I've ever seen.
Yeah, eating good tonight. Thunk.
No. Oh, my God. I keep losing my place every time I talk to you.
We're going to have to, like, color code that.
No, I did too much on my report. So the increase of using motored vehicles increased in 1913 when the postal carriers began delivering packages as well as letters. And by the 1933, only 2% of urban postal vehicles were horse-drawn. So they were still using them up until now.
You tell me a horse drew this carriage?
See, this is why I keep losing my place.
See, back in the day, horses used to draw all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And now you barely see them holding a pencil.
They stopped earning their keep.
Yeah, they definitely like turned the tables though.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, like,
use horse for everything.
People would work horses to death, and now
horses be working
horses
people
work
to
people to death.
My the turntables.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. Gotcha now. With the growth of suburbs in 1950s, the city's routes were motorized for the first time with Jeeps and the sit-stand trucks, as well as small vehicles known as mailsters.
The heck is that?
Yeah, they were called mailsters before mail people. Or mail carriers.
Oh, there's a person.
Yeah, they were called mailsters.
I thought it was like a cool van.
No, that's what
I thought it was like a Jeepster.
I mean, that might have tied in with it, but that's what they referred to mail carriers as, mailsters.
Like, what do I do for a living? I'm a mailster.
I mean, that's also back in the day when you could, you know what, I'm not going to say that word on radio.
I don't know where this was going.
People used to be able to say this word.
Oh, Lord, what word is it?
Don't say that now, because I don't know if
that's it's a Q word. Anyone want to guess? It begins with a Q.
It's an old word that back in the day people said left and right with no problems, but nowadays if someone says that, everyone loses their mind.
I thought it was the F word.
No. I definitely can't say that on air.
Unless you're talking about a cigarette.
No, and that's a different F word.
Oh, I don't know where we're going with
it. I thought you were referring to the other F word.
Oh, my Lord.
We're so off topic.
How do we get to this from horses?
I don't know, because I'm talking to you. The post office introduction of the rural free delivery... The home delivery to rural addresses, not just the urban ones. So it's not just delivering to the city. They're also delivering now out into the country. So what they used to do is the horses delivered out in the country and the automotives, they delivered to everyone in the city. That's how they divided it.
Yeah.
And then everybody who was further out.
Good luck.
They were relying on a train still. So they were still taking 30 days to get their mail. In the early 1900s, spurred the increase in the most use of the motorized vehicles. The postal carriers also experienced with motorcyclists. They also started using motorcycles as soon as they became commercially available. It's like, I think they were only using it during war times. This was...
Again, wait, what year?
Early 1900s.
Yeah, that's like when like Harley-Davidson was like first starting out.
Yeah, and so like as once as they became widely available, Postal Service was like, hey, we're going to borrow a couple of those.
Let me get some WLAs.
Yeah, we're going to start using them. And the use of motorcycles delivered by mail peaked in the 1920s. After that, they were replaced with the four-wheeled automobiles and trucks that were more spacious to hold letters and packages. So like, yeah, this is easy to use and faster, but the trucks are better.
Yeah, it does seem kind of difficult. How would they have to get off every time?
I guess so.
Or did they have like a basket in front of them with letters flying out?
I mean, I figured it'd be in a satchel, and if they had a mailbox, they just wouldn't even have to get off the bike. They pulled up to the mailbox, stuck it in, but if it was a package, yeah, they couldn't really hold a package.
I don't know
how none of that worked. Anybody who like...
Anyone who rode a motorcycle for the post office
in the 1900s, let us
call
know.
Call up and let us know how you did it. How did they do that? That was like, because I know like the first Harleys.
And they still weren't worried about emissions.
Well, like the first Harleys, like you couldn't stop.
They stuck their foot out.
No, like you had to like, once you got it going, like there was no clutch. Like the back wheel was just like moving. How would you stop?
I mean, how did they stop once they got to their destination?
Stopped a motor, I guess.
I guess that's how they stopped it then.
They put, like, bicycles with no brakes, they put their foot on the back tire. Don't put your foot on the front tire. I made that mistake before.
Oh, my God.
Stop a little too fast.
Oh, my God.
You stop too fast and upside down into that one.
Of course you would. Now we're going to talk a little bit about airplanes. We got some airplane facts in here for you. 1911 was the first use of an airplane aviator. Earl Ovington piloted his Bellerot monoplane. What's monoplane?
I guess that means a singular plane? Oh, one wing. I guess that means one wing because a biplane.
How does it have one wing?
No, like not one set of wings.
Oh,
well, like a biplane.
That plane's just going in circles. You gotta be more specific.
You said, telling me the first plane just had like one wing on.
That's what you said.
No wonder why they all were crashing left and right. Literally. I believe monoplane means one pair wing all of the way. Wing. Yeah.
I take things literally, okay? You can't tell me it had one wing and then expect me to know what that meant.
The other wing. Extra.
Oh my god. I'm just making a mess on my face over here.
It's a radio show.
You have to look at me, though.
I'll take my glasses off.
Oh god, does that two blind people in here?
No, I won't be able to read my chicken scratch.
Oh my goodness. So his coast-to-coast flight took 10 hours and 20 minutes.
Huh.
Yeah, that was his
first I didn't think flight. Those planes could do coast-to-coast. That's crazy.
Yeah, no, it was... So, and he did his first non-stop flight across the Atlantic in 1824. And it took him one day, and he was the first dude to do it. Very first.
More power to him. You know, everyone was like, yeah, nice knowing you.
Yeah, like, we'll never see this guy again.
Yeah. Just picturing the one wing. All the way across the
land. Oh, God. He gets so sick. Like, hour one into that.
Not
like,
even.
10 hours of that? Heck no. Heck no. They couldn't even do that on the space shuttle.
That's terrible.
Oh.
Wait. Oh, no. I was thinking of...
So...
I think you meant something else.
We are about... What do you mean?
I thought... Nothing. We getting sidetracked. I thought you were talking about the disaster.
No. No. Oh, God, no. Okay.
I was like, whoa.
No. Okay, so we're about to get into something that you're going to think is very, very cool. I thought it was really cool, but you're going to really get into this. So during World War II, they still wanted to celebrate Christmas, still had to get stuff, packages, letters, and whatnots all across America. So the post office helped Americans stay connected with their loved ones fighting abroad or wherever they were with the Victory Mail or VM Mail, which was based on a technique originally developed by Eastman Kodak. The camera guy. Yeah.
Oh.
Camera guy. And he originally started out processing bank records. That's where he started off. So how these letters worked is they were written on a special lightweight stationery that folded into its own envelope. So
it was like...
Yeah, it was like one of those snapshots.
It was like origami.
Yeah, well, it was like, you ever seen one of those cameras, you take the picture and you pull out the film?
Polaroid.
And then you snap it and that's the photo. The photo's inside.
You lost me there. Like a Polaroid?
So before Polaroid, there was another camera. You know how Polaroid points out the one photo, you shake it and then it develops. So before that was another camera created by Kodak. You took the picture, and it popped out like a slip of paper first, and then a film. And you pulled the two pieces of paper apart, and when you pulled it apart quickly, it snapped whatever chemicals inside of it in the photo onto the paper, giving you the image.
What?
Yeah! That's how it first started. And that's what he developed. He turned that, the photo-making process, into a way to send letters to the soldiers. And doing it this way, also if any mail got taken by enemies or whatnot, so they wouldn't have any of the family's information because Americans were the only ones to know how to use it. Other countries, because they were developed into this special system and special envelopes, any seized information, other countries weren't able to figure out how to use it. They just didn't. They didn't have the same stuff.
Huh.
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
I still don't understand. I don't understand how a Polaroid works, let alone a piece of paper you snap and there's a picture on it.
Yeah, it's
like the
original
reaction. The original Snapchat.
Oh God, this is way, way, way before.
No, think about it. It's the OG Snapchat.
Except it wasn't text; it was pictures.
of text.
Kind of. Yeah.
Bam.
Yeah.
Follow the money. Follow the money.
I swear. But they sent over 100,000 minutes. Okay. So they sent, during this time, they sent over 4,964,286 cargo pounds of mail.
That's a lot of pounds.
Yeah, and they did that all in the span of 19...
The war.
Yeah, World War II. The whole war. World War II. I was looking for specific dates. But yeah.
But between Poland and the Pacific.
I have no idea, honestly.
See, I watched, like, every World War II documentary. Once you get into your 30s,
mm-hmm.
and you're a guy, you just watched all of the war documentaries.
Babe, you did that before it's your true. 30s.
If you need a good nap, like, if you're trying to go to sleep, hop on YouTube, just type in war documentary. Perfect. It's like just enough like monotone to where you go to bed, but there's enough information to where you're like,
You know, you retain more information while you're unconscious than while you're conscious.
I believe it. That's why I have so much useless information stored. I have nothing useful. Can't remember anything useful, but man, tell me about U-boats. You know?
Tell me about monoplanes.
Monoplanes.
They can only fly left.
That's how they circled the globe.
Oh my God. That'd be easy. They made it easy.
Yeah, well, that's all we had for this part of Santa / the post office.
Going postal. I had a lot of information.
I don't know. That was like 16 episodes.
I was excited about this. I was really excited about this.
She was pumped.
Yeah.
No. I mean, I was excited too. So when y'all come back, y'all are going to be disappointed because it's going to be me rambling about old Jeeps. So thanks for listening to WVFF.
Keep it cranking.
This is the Toolbox 97.7. Stay tuned for another part. Of stuff.
Going postal.
I'm going postal right now. See you later. Bye.
We thank you for staying tuned to the Toolbox. If you missed it, not to worry. You can always find it over on WVFFradio.com. Thanks for staying tuned to Veterans for Freedom Radio, 97.7 FM, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.